What's up, everybody? Welcome back to We Have Cool Friends. I'll be your host, Nick Scarpino. My guest today is one of my oldest and bestest friends, and he and I did marching band together from seventh grade all the way till the end of high school. Of course, before I tell you his name, I'm going to tell you the name of our sponsors who are helping bring you the show, Manscaped. We'll get to that a little bit later. Please put your hands together out there if you're riding in your car for my dear friend, Mr. Scott Dominguez.
Yay. Hey, what's happening, everybody? Oh, wow. The great
yeah,
applause.
Are we, huge
this
applause.
Is on the air, right? Is this on K-Rock 106.7?
Yeah, K-Rock. Definitely make that reference that I have made multiple times on every podcast. And there's like four people that listen from Southern California that are like, oh, I know what that is. But then in New York are like, we're Howard Stern fan. No, they're not Howard Stern.
I told my mom I was going on your show. And she, is that like the radio? Yeah, Mom. It's the radio.
My parents still think I make Halo. I haven't had the heart to tell them that I don't. I'm like, I make video games. That's why I have no furniture in this room. But Scott, just giving people a little backstory on you. Obviously, we went to school together. We started going to school together in seventh grade, right? You went to uni, right?
That's right.
So me, you, Stu, Todd, all those guys went to uni. That's where we met. Yeah. You have done marching band. You decided to pursue a career in music, right? A career in educational music, rather. So that's why you went to Fullerton for your undrad, right? Scott, this is an interview show. Why don't you tell people how you got started?
No, it's okay. Doing it. So, I grew up in Riverside, and we grew up on opposite sides of the tracks. I was down in the slums by UC Riverside. But me and Todd and Stu and all those guys, we were in school from Weeblows all the way through high school. So when we got to uni and we met up with the Mission Grove folks, all the people on the better side of town, and started doing band, that's when the worlds collided. And then it really collided when we got to John North and we were with all the other kids that went to the other junior highs. But
That's our high school, which we, by the way, for everyone who thinks, oh my God, you almost led me. The title of this video is going to be Nick and his friend watch their marching band videos. If you came in for that, we're going to do that a little bit later. We're going to definitely watch our freshman year video. And depending on how that goes, we might go into some of either the parades or the senior year field show.
The best year, because our freshman year was the year where it was like, I'm a child and I'm hanging out with these people that drive cars.
Yeah.
And so I think all the memories came from that. So yeah, we went to John North and then I decided I'll just keep doing band, really. It's the most boring story of all time. I just went to college and got a degree and then got a credential and started teaching. And 18 years later, still doing it.
Teaching high school band. That's where
you're teaching. High school band. Right.
That's amazing.
Yep.
And I'll never forget you said you were going to do that. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. And then I was like secretly like, damn, Scott's got it figured out. Because I thought at that point, I was like, I'm going to be a computer engineer. And whenever I'd say that, a chill would go through my spine. Like, you don't want to do that. That sounds terrible. Meanwhile, Scott's like, I'm going to go learn how to play every instrument at Cal State Fullerton and have a blast and hang out and party. I think there was at one point you're like, yeah, I'm going to this party that K-Rock's throwing or something like that down the street. I was like, what? Your life is so much cooler than mine. I'm trying to learn how to C++ program.
You know what's funny about your time at Irvine, too, is like when I'll talk to my dad a little bit about you. And, you know, he'll ask about all my friends from high school and we'll talk about Nick. And he's like, I'm the one who talked that guy out of doing computer science. He came into my office and he said, I want to do film studies. And I said, well, then just do film studies. So he would like to take all the credit. And I tell him,
well, he can take all the credit for my illustrious film career that he has
helped
me.
That's right.
It's weird though. Cause like if you looking at how everything turned out for me, obviously like my life is great. I have no complaints whatsoever, but I would never have even been able to fathom switching my major from computer science, actually undeclared realistically, cause I didn't even have what it took to get into the program. But switching from undeclared to film studies would result in me talking to you remotely on Discord about an interview show that we're going to do and then watching our old video all through the internet. Who the fuck could have thought this could happen? It's very
weird. Nobody. But, you know, after teaching 18 years, I will tell you this. Everybody figures it out. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Yeah.
There's not one kid that just goes, I'm not going to figure it out. I'm just not going to figure it out.
One kid. I mean, you know, some of the I have a kid that went to prison and tried to murder his family and things like that. So I've got one of those stories, but that's it. I mean, basically everybody figures it out. Doesn't everybody have that story?
I don't know, man. I mean, I have friends that I think it's weird for me because when you go into something like film, it's not like a degree in film studies is in high demand.
Yeah.
Right. You as an educator, kind of the pathway is kind of laid out for you. I mean, granted, yeah. You still have to get jobs. You still have to network. Like you did a lot of, you know, you worked with other band directors and you did a lot of different things like that. And then I remember when I can't remember if that first high school job you got, where you were like, that took some finagling to get into that. Right. Like you had to network your ass off to get into the spot where people were like,
yeah, Scott's like, right? It was really lucky, dude. You know, honestly, it's like so many things. You just kind of like Mr. Magoo your way through it, where you just fall into a bucket of shit and come out smelling like roses. I mean, it just happened to be that I was student teaching in a district where the guy I was student teaching with was buddies with the principal at another school in the district. And then they got rid of their director and brought me in. So I was 22, you know, with my first gig, and I really didn't have to work very hard for it. So, but what are you going to do?
I ended up doing was watching you have a full-time career with benefits while I was editing wedding videos and
you edited my wedding video.
And I fucking crushed your wedding video. I did a great
job. Yeah, you did. We just watched it. You know, our anniversary's coming up and we just watched
it. Does it still work? I wonder about that.
Yes. Yes.
You should see if you should get it back to me so I can rip it and put it and make it digitize it so you can upload it. It's like you're, because I thought about that. There's gotta be a bunch of those that just like, if the disc got screwed up, you're done. I never archived that stuff. I was like a 22-year-old dumbass who like could barely watch his clothes.
Yeah, that's back when you had Fling Productions.
That was your
first company, Fling Productions. You were so proud of it too.
It's a great name. Kevin, how do you feel about the name Fling Productions for a production company?
Oh man, that's a name that I'm gonna remember, Dick.
Okay, yeah. Kevin. That's Kevin's way of saying it's a terrible name. I remember. Remember, it was.
It's not a terrible name.
So Scott and I used to live together briefly after college when I was started to shoot and edit and stuff like that. And I remember one night it was like me, my brother, and my buddy Steve, who I started the company with, who used to live next door to us, or rather, his girlfriend used to live next door to us. And then I think he ended up moving in when they got engaged. And we decided to start the company together because he was like, "I'll buy a computer, you buy a camera." And I'll never forget, we were up all night. I think I was like smoking cigarettes and drinking beer. We were hammered, not being aware of how old or how loud we were being. And finally I was like, "What about Fling?" And I just hear this voice from the other room, because Scott had to like wake up in the morning to go to work. He was like, "It sounds great. Shut the fuck up."
That's right, dude.
That's great. I like, or no, you were like, "I like Gray Productions better now. Shut up," or whatever it was. That was weird, the days. And then I screwed you over to go live with Ryan.
No, because I got a studio apartment and got married. It was all good. There was no screwing over. But, you know, Steve's kid is now in school with my kid. They're in the same grade, Rocco.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know. Are they still doing pretty okay? If not,
yeah, man, they're great. Okay. He works at State Farm and she's a teacher. No, they're great. They have two boys. They're beautiful. It's all good.
That's great. Glad to hear it. I should Facebook message them at some point, but I'm lousy at doing that. So the whole purpose of this podcast is to tell one time at band camp stories. And obviously band camp for a lot of people, most people anecdotally, I think probably have zero understanding of what a marching band does, what band camp is. I'm pretty sure they think that it's their full context for marching band in general is just that scene in American Pie where what the actress from Buffy the Vampire Slayer talks about sexual things that people do at band camp, which was never my experience. I never had any sex at band camp.
But
I don't even
think, you got to think it does happen. Camp.
I mean, right?
I will tell you this. We go up to the mountains for camp. It's a
legit. You go up to the mountains for camp?
Cool. Yeah, we go up to Running Springs. So 100%. But it's like, hear no evil, see no evil. I don't, you know, I stay away from.
But what do you do? But you got to know, right? Because people gossip to you, right? Don't they tell you like so-and-so's?
Yeah. Earlier in my career, I was kind of like, I gossiped. You know what I mean? They'd come or I would ask her. You start seeing a kid hanging out. These days, man, I don't want to know.
Is that, do you not want to know because you don't want the liability of knowing?
No, it's not that. It fogs your ability to work with them in other ways. You know, I just want them, they're kids. They should be doing all of that shit. That is the right thing for them to do, just like it was right for us. But that should stay away from me as much as it possibly, I mean, unless it really got in the way, if there was some major thing that happened, obviously, but other than that, no, I don't want to know. I mean, let them go be.
It's so crazy to me, right? Because you see, I think of myself when I was in high school as being a lot older and more mature than I'm willing to bet if I saw myself, I would be. If I looked, I bet if I saw Nick, I've seen pictures, obviously, I'm like, oh my God, who fucking let me have that ponytail? But I've seen, like, I always think to myself, if I saw myself as a freshman in high school when you and I we graduated from junior high. We're in freshman year band camp. In my brain, Scott, I am a
growing up.
I'm basically Hugh Hefner. Like, I have a smoking jacket on.
That's right.
And I show up in a limo, and I am very distinguished, and I have already read the complete works of William Shakespeare, Bill Shakespeare, as they call him.
Oh, yeah.
But it turns out I was a dumb little kid. But you hit the nail on the head, something I want to go back and talk about real quick before we start watching some dumb videos of us. The feeling of – because in junior high, you're like, okay, the kids that are eighth graders are just a year older than us, so who cares?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you went to freshman year, like, I'll never forget. So I was a freshman year trumpet player. And I came into the trumpet section. And correct my terminology as I go, by the way, because I'm going to probably forget a lot of the marching band.
You're doing really good so far.
So far crushing it, like always. Yeah. And I'll never forget that the leader of the section was Carlos. And Carlos
oh yes. He ripped that high C.
Was the high C guy.
Yes.
Now, that was – so for people who don't know, tell people what the significance of the high C was.
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, on trumpet, any brass instrument, you know, you're popping overtones every time. It's the same fingering, but you go higher and higher and higher. And you just need more of a stronger embouchure, a stronger buzz, more air. And it's something that you don't develop until you're just older. When you're a little kid, you just can't play that high or you suck. And this kid, and I remember this, because I remember this 100%. I remember being in the first summer rehearsal and we're sitting there going through the opening of the show, the fanfare. And they're doing all the da-da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da-da. Right, and then here comes the moment where the high C comes. And Carlos was right behind me. And he rips this high note. Wah! Yeah. And I turn around like, what in the fuck? Should I be in the band with you? Because I don't think that we are. I was playing little kid music. And now you can do that. Something's wrong.
It was so weird because I remember hearing that. And I was like, every single one of us was like, challenge accepted. Who
that's right
out of the freshmen, because it was me, Clay, and Todd were like the main, actually me and Clay. Todd, no disrespect to Todd, but he was just not a very good trumpet player when it came to this stuff. He was always
no
like,
disrespect.
He was just hanging in there, but he wasn't like Clay was like, Clay had taken, and these are all my homies, by the way. So if they hear this, I love you guys. I haven't talked to you in forever, but just know that you're in here and here and a little bit of my legs. But what Todd was like, mean? Was, I don't know. I like
you know
that.
What
I
mean. Like,
I know what it means. It's, run around. You're running around in my head, Kev.
Yeah.
But Clay had taken private lessons since like birth. And he was a much better sight reader than I was. He was just a much better player than I was.
Yeah. Beautiful sound.
Just very controlled sound. But I was like, I'm going to hit this fucking note before anyone in this section. I don't know why. It's just going to give me, in my brain, Scott, I was like, if I hit the high C, that's going to put me, I mean, that's it. Exactly. I was like,
that's really what it was.
Girl team's gonna love me because I hit the high C. It's gonna be amazing.
Well, here's where I think you really have to put it into context, because right now people are listening are like these fucking nerds. But it's not
that bad. There's a good amount of people who are saying that, yes, but I guarantee there's a lot of people who are listening to this that went to band camp and just want to hear us
and they just know
want to reminisce.
Well, but that girl thing you just touched on was a big part of it. Because, I mean, you come into this and our organization was like 150 people and we had a dance team. And the dance team, I mean, listen, they were beautiful. They were the most beautiful girls in the school.
We had a dance team. We had a flag team. And so coming from that, you were just – and that's one of the reasons why I think – that's one of the reasons why I stuck with it, because I was like, holy shit, there's 150 people and we're all coming from different walks of life, right? So like – we can call it what it was. The dance team was the single, to this day, most intimidating group of women I have ever seen in my life.
They had just gone to Japan and won this world championship, and it was in the newspaper and things like that. But the point is that guy ripped that high C, and then here come the dates. If you wanted a prom date, you had to be able to do certain things within that group. And so when you talk about, I don't know what it was that was motivating me, Nick, you know what it was motivating you.
But the same thing, everything's motivated. But what I'm saying is like, I don't think, and I think I ended up subsequently being able to hit that note and higher, by the way, because competition breeds excellence. So by sophomore year, we were like ripping C's, D's, E's, whatever, it doesn't matter. I think I got to a G at one point. I was like, I'm so proud of myself right now. I could just quit. But I mean, no one ever came to me and was like, dude, that note was so dope. We have to immediately make out. It didn't really happen. Although I will credit my first real girlfriend in high school was because of marching band. And it was the summer between my sophomore and junior year. I think I was drum major that year. Mm-hmm. And our band director was like, hey, you know, you're going to be drum major and like, you got to kind of get your shit together and like, you know, be a little healthier and things like that. And so I spent the whole summer working out and shadow boxing in my front yard and not eating five meals a day. And I dropped down to 220. And there was something weird about just being in that environment of band camp. Everyone's there. And it was like during the school year, it was different. But during band camp, it was like there's no other people around.
Yeah, so it's just you. Point,
it's just us and the other 100 people. And at some point, you're going to talk to a drill team person. And I just happened to say the right thing. And she laughed. And I was like, cool, now I have a girlfriend. And that's
but
the
listen,
weird
that's
thing.
But that's the thing about it. It's an ecosystem, right? I mean, it is an ecosystem that lives and breeds. You are going through something similar that only that group knows, or only that group can really kind of relate to. So a lot of your stories. But I mean, listen, our practice schedule, if you remember, Nick, was Monday 3 to 5, Tuesday 3 to 5, Wednesday 3 to 5, Thursday 6 to 9 p.m.
I remember.
And then we would go out on football games Friday nights, and then Saturday competition. So you're talking about 6 days a week. This was really, you know, awesome. What
plus,
your
not
life sort of
we had the two. I think by senior year came around, I had an open period, sixth period, but I had third period, which was symphonic band, and fifth period was jazz band. And so
Nick,
I was
me and you,
two,
me yeah. and you both had that period off. We would go get Del Taco for the girls.
Well, we would fucking get.
We
so
were both
Kevin,
dating.
We get so much Del Taco. It was the best.
That was at a time where you could just leave the campus. We would leave, get Del Taco, and come back. See, it got so to a point where it was like Dazed and Confused. We just left and came and went. Remember when you got into that car accident going down Canyon Crest?
I distinctly remember that, yeah.
I got wind of it in the middle of biology, and I just left.
Yeah.
It was not the kind of thing that no one checked on me. I just got in my car and off I went. And turns out you were already back.
Oh, I was totally fine. I was getting rained by my mom, but verbally.
You didn't have to elaborate on that.
I know. That was for Kevin. That was for Kevin. Just see if he's still paying attention.
I am.
By the way, hang on. Kevin, this is a story. This is for you only, Kevin. And for everybody. Well, you can edit this out, Nick, if you want to. But here's one of the. Here's an Elena story.
It doesn't matter what you say. He's not going to edit this out. It's not going to matter.
This is an Elena story. At my wedding, Elena is hammered. And she's dancing. And she has this little skirt on. And she starts kind of hiking it up just a little bit. And Nick looks at her and says, Mom, you know, it's a little too high. And she points at it. She goes, Nikki, you came out of here.
Yeah, she did. She did that on a dance floor.
Yes.
And
in
it's
front
what,
of, I mean,
yeah, it's
I'll never
the whole,
forget it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you go, I can't dispute that. I did.
No.
I did come out of there about 25 years ago at that point, or 26 years ago. What was that? Oh, so... God damn! Now I'm thinking about
I got us off track.
That
I know.
Moment.
You're just talking about your mom yelling at you.
No, we're talking about that. So I mean, that was the thing. Like I talk to these guys about this all the time, and I think like it's different, obviously, in different campuses. But in Riverside, growing up in the '90s, you were not allowed to leave the campus unless you were 18. And so I'll never forget on my 18th birthday, and the security guards weren't happy about this, but they couldn't stop you from leaving. So we would leave for lunch and they'd be like, you're not supposed to be able to go. And I'm like, I'm 18 years old. You can't stop me from coming and going. And so they would just, and then eventually, of course, right when we got to that point where we were all, had already been accepted and knew the colleges we were going to, I was like, this is my house now. I'm coming and going to this campus as I please. I'm going to be a shithead.
That was a magical time, man, for sure.
That was so good. That was like, that's got to be the last.
And it's not, let me tell you something, it's not like that anymore, man. I mean, these schools these days, like, they're prisons. I mean, they put up these big fencing, no one in, no one out because of shootings and everything else.
Yeah.
It was the Wild West days for us. And nowadays it's, you know, you're on lockdown. I mean, you can still get out if you're clever, but you know.
Sure. But I mean, for us, it wasn't, I mean, don't get me wrong. I remember the fences at John W. North High School were high and they had grease on the top of them to stop people from, which I was like, I don't know if that's going to work per se. You're just going to get grease all over your clothes. But people, I remember those specifically. I was like, is that to keep people in? And they were like, no, it's actually more to keep people out because we had gang problems and gangs would like jump over and like jump people and then leave. And so that was like a small barrier to do that. Cause I remember before I went there, my brother's year, they had a lockdown. They had like a big gang fight that broke out. That's remember right. We were at uni and they were like, you cannot go near North. You have to go home. Like we had to go home too. Cause they were like, we had a big massive like riot on campus. And then I was like, wait, at the school that we're going to go to next year. And they were like, yeah, have fun. And in my mind, I'm like, is it going to be like Oz there? Am I going to have to kill a man just to fit in? What's happening? But of course, we went to marching band and it was all good.
Yeah.
On that. So freshman year, we go to marching band. I got to get the high C. And by the way, if you guys are like, wow, I got to hear this high C, you're about to, because we're going to watch that video in just a little bit. But before we get to that, though, I want to talk a little bit about the bittersweetness that was our senior year. Do you remember our senior year tournament of champions? Actually, yeah. run people through the sort of like, I don't know what the competitions are still, but is tournament still a thing?
No. Everything has sort of changed. But back in the 90s, yeah, there was a big event at the end of the year. As a matter of fact, that event went before us. It was a big double day. You would do a parade competition and then do a halftime show competition.
We used to do that, though, right? Didn't we used to do the parade in the morning then halftime at night?
No, not for that day. We did some like other parades or whatever. But it used to be like big combo. And it was this big competition that like the top 12 groups would go at night. And then they would have a tournament with all the other groups in the daytime, and if you won it, you got a shot at the night tournament. That was something that we were always chasing, because we were like one slot away. And that event does not exist anymore, but it was called the Tournament of Champions. It was hosted by a private school that's pretty prominent down here, Mater Dei. Everybody knows their football team if you know anything about, you know, Southern California or California football. But a lot of like USC quarterbacks came out of there. But it was a wealthy school, and this was a big event. And in fact, this story, Nick, is like folklore in marching band in Southern California now, because it started pouring that day. And what they did is they brought a helicopter in and they brought it down to the field to try to dry the field off, because money riding on the day. And I remember the thing about, and P. Jackson, our band director, tells the story to the band all the time, because he viewed us as this arrogant band.
Yeah, so like, I never were we though?
Yeah,
were we arrogant, or were we just tired of
the environment
that had been created? Were we though? Because because here's the thing: I was drum major, right? And I became drum major because I was legitimately looked up to the drum majors before me, and I wanted to help make the band better. And from my perspective, I don't remember anyone ever really acting up. I just remember Pete being like, you guys could be so much better than you are right now. And I was like, I don't think we can be. I think we're as good as we can be. Like, I don't remember people like slacking off and not trying hard. I just remember,
you know,
us just not being as good as he thought we should be. And us being like, most of us are seniors and we just don't give a fuck. Maybe that is right there. Maybe I just hit the nail.
Yeah, I think you did it. You started running back. It was like a real horseshoe experience.
Yeah.
No, But it is true, because let me tell you something, because we were at that point already. I mean, and being on the other side of it, I'll tell you that the senior class, you don't want a really strong senior class. You want a strong junior class, because that group is still pushing and pushing. By the time we got to the end, I mean, it's December and we've been at it since August. And what had happened was we turned it on the week of that competition, thinking, okay, this is going to be our year. We're going to make it into that night show. We've kind of paid our dues. We were in second place at that day show 3 years in a row. So we kind of thought, and we had been winning all year. And so we thought, this is going to be it. And were we lazy? I was a little kid. I don't remember. We were arrogant, Nick. And we thought we knew better. We would sit around in circles saying how much better we would do it. We would run it differently. Yes, we did. And maybe we were right. I mean, maybe that's why I got into it in the first place. But we were about as arrogant as you can be while still being like not total shitheads.
As far as a marching band can be, as arrogant as you could be for a marching band.
He just thought, I mean, because it wasn't just that, because Todd was like, you know, I'm going to go to the University of Pennsylvania, which he did not. But, you know, everybody had these other plans. Clay was going to be a Regent Scholar. I mean, we had all these people that were doing a lot of other really good things as well. And we felt pretty entitled. We were like the IB kids. We were, you know, in that kind of a place. Right. And we were pretty good. I mean, our band, we were good. We were good players. I mean, and we were no one was a bad player. By the time we were seniors, we were all really pretty strong. So
as far as the senior class was concerned,
yeah.
Because we've been playing together also. It's worth noting, most of us have played together since seventh grade.
Yeah.
So we knew each other. I played with you in our seventh and eighth grade band, and we did marching band there. And we had what I would say was a really phenomenal music teacher back then, who I had been working with since like fifth grade.
I'll tell you something else, Nick. Our eighth grade, this is
shout out to Mr. Usher.
We're getting so nerdy. Our eighth grade band is another band that a lot of people
talk
about.
We were fucking great. We were great. We legendary eighth grade band.
Well, we had, did you realize?
What's up?
Sorry. Well, you realize we had no tubas in that band. I mean, that's unheard of to have. We had no tubas in it, and we still got superior ratings everywhere we went. But no, people will talk to me. They'll say, oh, yeah, you were in that uni band with no tubas that got superiors at University of Redlands.
I hope you're not making that up.
I swear to God, that's true.
Confirm that with me.
We'll call Maxie Robinson right now. So no, it is true. That was a really good group. So we did have a little bit of a chip on our shoulder. But what I was going to say, and this could maybe segue in the next thing, Pete's behavior, or what we considered to be behavior of like, this guy is flipping out. We just got to a point our senior year, we're like, every time he would yell at us about anything, we're like, it's just Pete. We dismissed it.
Because at a certain point, you would just like, you're like, I've been dealing with this person's way of managing this situation for 4 years. And I mean, there were moments where I'd walk out of class. There were multiple moments where I was like, I don't want to be pushed this hard. And I want, like, it begs the question of like, because I guess for me, thinking about it, my perspective was always like, we're not big enough as a group to put out the kind of sound that gets you first place in those higher brackets. So like, even if we're great, I don't even know if we could be, because remember it was like the big bands were like 200 kids that were putting out just a wall of sound. And meanwhile, we only had like 90 instruments, right? Because when you say we were 150, we had probably 20 in the dance team, 20 in flags. And like, and then there was the pit who were the kids that were just.
We were pretty big by the end. We were like 130 instrumentalists by the time we were done.
Were we really pretty big?
By the end. So we had 76 in our freshman class and like 55 of us stuck it out or something. I mean, like,
That was one thing that I always thought was, I was like, we need to get more credit because we have kept this group together. And we have, like, there were moments where literally everyone wanted to quit because the sort of outpouring of energy, we'll just say, that our band director and the supporting staff would put toward us. I was like, I don't think we should be getting this right now, and I don't know how to deal with this. And so, like, when I'd want to quit, you'd be like, Nick, just don't but that leads to either quitting or apathy, right? So like, when you feel like you're being mistreated or you're not being valued enough, and there were multiple times where I'm like, I just don't want to be talked to the way you're talking to me, or I don't want to be I don't want to be like yelled at, or I don't want to watch you, you know, berate some of my friends because they, I mean, granted, yes, we were shits. We were little fucking shits.
And we deserved it more than half the time. But I will say this, what I remember about it wasn't so much that I remember it being just random. I was like, I would come in on a day, let's say it's a Tuesday, and just think, I wonder what's going to happen today. It could be anything. There was no rhyme or reason to where it was going to be, here comes the sarcastic comment or something like, well, I told you that 15 weeks ago. Don't you remember that? And I was like, I have to say yes. I can't say no. I don't remember 15 weeks ago.
And to be fair,
but
you were always diplomatic and you were always very respectful. Whereas I always hit a threshold where I'm like, I'm just going to tell you to fuck off. And then I'm going to go to the vice principal's room, or I'm just going to leave. Cause I think that was a very watershed moment for me when I was senior year. I'm like, I already got into college. I knew where I was going to go. Like, I was like, I'm going to Irvine. It's pretty much sealed. I got the acceptance letter. So all I got to do is pass these classes, and I don't need this class. I could just, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to leave this symphonic band and go over to the theater department and hang out and go play cards there for a little bit. And there were moments like that where I was like, I think by the time December came around, we were all just over it. And so the saddest thing is, the way the story goes is that we had this great band. We were all, for whatever reason, we just couldn't pull it together to be like, we had a good band, but we could not pull it together to be a great band, whether that was a lack of leadership from my part, or just the fact that, you know, we weren't feeling like we weren't vibing with the way, you know, our band director was choosing to instruct us, or we just were fucking seniors and we just wanted to fucking go to Del Taco and not give a shit about it anymore. I don't know. Right. But either way, we pulled it together the week before Tournament of Champions, and we got a fire lit under our ass. And those last like four practices, and that, I think that Friday night show was like the best show we've ever done. And we were thinking, part of my brain was like, oh man, I fucking really wish we'd kind of turn this shit on 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago before this. But I'm like, no, I think we got a good shot. I think we could do this. And we wake up the next day and it starts to sprinkle.
Pouring.
And I'm like, No. I remember I woke up and I was like, it's just raining a little bit. Maybe it'll stop. And by the time I got to school, it was a fucking torrential downpour. Do you remember that? And I might be making this up, but I remember Pete standing on the cement ramp block that went down the ramp to Barron?
Yeah.
Him just shaking his head.
Yep.
As if to say, exactly now you little cocky pieces of shit will never get your chance. And we
it's
never
so funny
did.
Too, the way that, you know, when you're a kid and how you kind of romanticize things, I remember genuinely thinking, well, there's no way they'll let this happen. And even to a degree, Pete, because he had so much, I mean, you know, whatever we're going to say about him today, the energy that he put into what he was doing is outrageous. I mean,
no, he cared.
So
he cared
much
a tremendous amount, which is why correct. We used to piss him off to the point of like yes. boiling rage.
But I remember thinking even at 17, this guy's not going to let it happen. This guy will
what
not
do you mean
let
it happen.
Not have a show, get rained yeah. out. You know what I mean? I even with the torrential downpour, I thought, no, we'll still do it. And he was sitting there on the ramp shaking his head. And it was the first time that had ever happened to us.
Right.
I mean, it's not, you know, we're Southern California. It's never raining. And I just remember thinking, that's it then? I mean, for 4 years, because that's the culminating event. And we had a lot of traditions surrounding it, right? We'd go into the parking structure and play the show. It was always very emotional. And when you're a senior, some of the things that we did, you get into the circle, play Never Walk Alone. And, you know, we had things that really helped make you feel connected that when you were a freshman, you looked forward to doing as a senior. And that day was really supposed to be the end, the celebration. I mean,
that was supposed to be us. So that was supposed to be
us. Shame.
Yeah. Go ahead. Continue. I know.
I was going to say, no shame. I mean, we'd be emotional about it and cry. Hey, that's kind of what the expectation was, is that you would get to that point and there'd be this giant emotional release that you would all experience at the same time and feel this great sense of camaraderie. And then when to think that it wasn't going to happen, I just remember thinking, there's no way. And then do you remember we actually did have another performance because the football team went to CIF championships and we performed at that show?
I don't remember that. I just remember thinking, I just remember feeling that I should be feeling disappointed, but I felt relief. And I remember being so, that was what made me sad. Not that we didn't get to do the show and not that we didn't get to do one final show, but the fact that I was relieved that it was over. Sure. I was like, thank fucking God we don't have to do this. And thank God we don't have to do that. And then I think we ended up circling around right in like that little area by the you know, between the buildings. And I think we ended up playing the show one more time. But I don't think I could just remember thinking as I was like conducting, I was like, nobody's heart's in this. Everyone wants to go home. And it's like sad because for a lot of people, I mean, if you guys made it this far in this podcast, we're 30 minutes in about talking about our marching band times. But for a lot of people, I think you can probably relate to the fact that we had played together since we were in the seventh grade. And for the vast majority of us, this was the last time we were ever going to do this. I never did any sort of marching band ever again after that, because at Irvine, we'd had like a jazz band for like a quarter. And I was like, well, my heart's not in this, so I'm not doing this anymore. Yeah. But that was it. And so you're right. We were supposed to have this moment of catharsis that we just didn't get. And it was like, it was a very big grow up moment for me. Cause at a certain point I thought I was relieved. But then upon reflection on that, I'm like, fuck, Pete was right. Like, we squandered that. Cause you never know when it's going to be done. We thought we had one more show left. And then that look in his face, I'll never forget, where he was just like, I don't think he ever said, I told you so. I'm sure it's P. He probably did multiple fucking times. But he was just like, he just had that look like, see, you guys
didn't appreciate it.
You didn't appreciate it. And now it's fucking gone. And I'd love to have a beer with him one more time and be like, what do you think? What do you think about that? What's your real thought on that? Because I'm sure he'd tell
me. I have had a beer with him and talked with him about it. And, you know, I mean, he does feel badly that it happened. I mean, that's not ideal. And, you know, he has a certain ego on him. And he knew he had a really good band.
We were
going
to crush.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he was excited about doing it, but he does use it as a word of warning to other bands. I mean, you know how it'd be when he was, listen, I mean, are we going to get to the point of we talk about him throwing ladders and leaving rehearsals out of his Jeep? He would just leave. He would just sit there and start berating us.
He'd leave. Yeah.
He did that. And then one time, then I remember this dipshit, some 20-year-old marching instructor, and he's like, you just made your band director leave. And I was like, I didn't make him leave. He just left. I don't think he's supposed to leave. I'm 15.
Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break to tell you about our sponsor. The holidays are here. Have you made your wish list yet? Our sponsor today has the number one wished for gift of the year, Manscaped. The best in men's below and above the belt grooming. Manscaped is here to ensure you're taking care of your manhood and your nose hairs with the new performance package. Ho, 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 fellas. Naughty or nice, 'tis the season to perform. If you know what I'm talking about. Listen, we're hairy people here. And man, I mean, just look at this beard. Look how much nose hair I have. Look at all the hair on my body. If it wasn't for Manscaped, I would just be a ball of fur that walked into my house and then looked at my wife, and she was would just be picking up the phone to call someone to come collect me and throw me out. Do you want to get thrown out? No. If you want it, you got to work for it, and Manscaped is going to help you do it. You are in luck because the Manscaped Performance Package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle and makes for the perfect gift. Imagine opening up an attractive box that says your balls will thank you with the most sought-after gadgets and scents a person can find. Included in this new package is the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, which is waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Look, guys, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. Why not use the best tools for the job? Now, you don't have to put an official poll on that. I could have told you 100% of the partners I've been with would be like, get out of here. That's gross. The bundle includes the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, the best trimmer on the market for your balls, butt, and body. The dads can't stop talking about this. The teens secretly buy this, and the women will love you for it. Tis the season to manscape. So get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package. Let's not forget their famous liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner to maximize your ball hygiene routine. Get the Performance Package now to receive their two free gifts, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. The Performance Package is the best value that Manscaped has to offer and is hot off the shelves. Get 20% off plus free shipping when you go over to manscaped.com/morning. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/morning. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds and make Santa proud. Like, I think that I mean, and I look back on that, and at the time I was like, I don't understand why this is happening. But at 40 years old, having led teams of people, I actually applaud him for the patience that he did show us for the most part. Because we were 150 high school kids, and I had the attention span of a small insect, and we were shitheads. We were fucking assholes to him. And we were like, there would be multiple times where he'd be saying something and he would turn around and walk back to the ladder to go watch the field show, and someone would say something.
Something
fucking shitty little comment. And I'd be like, oh my God, if I was him, I would have fucking, like, I'm surprised he didn't like murder a child, because
that's where that arrogance came in. Like,
I can't be a teacher. I know this because I'll fucking kill someone. I'll kill this kid if I had
him. One of my favorite stories of him flipping out on us is he was giving us some big lecture. It was a nighttime rehearsal, and he's giving us some big lecture about how, like, you can't rely on the 17-year history of this program. Every year has been golden, golden chapter, golden chapter, golden chapter. It's up to you. You write the next chapter, and it's up to you to determine if it's going to be gold or if it's going to be black. And BJ was right next to me, and he's a black kid, and he mutters under his breath, but loud enough that the 10 of us can hear it. What the hell is wrong with being black? And so we start to laugh because it's funny. And so all he hears, so he's given this whole thing, and you have to write the next chapter. And
he's giving this incredibly
10-year-old kids
emboldened and impassioned speech and trying to like get us to be adults. And there's just no one heard the comment, and except for like the people around him. And then you just hear laughter. And I'd be like, I would have murdered.
He made us run a lap. And then Becky put her saxophone down, and Marissa stepped on it and twisted her ankle. It was a whole big mess. But Marissa I'll never did
that.
Forget
and then that.
That
was before I stepped on that kid, that poor freshman kid's flute, and bent it like this. And I felt so bad about that. And then I think he ended up keep staying, though. I think he stayed.
Yes.
What a weird time.
When I look at it through the lens, I mean, how many times are those conversations going in my rehearsals anyways? I think the same thing. And you have to sort of have that patience where you're like, all right, fine, I get it. But I'm still, what am I trying to do here? You know what I mean? I'm trying to do something for you.
No, so, I mean, I understand that. And I think looking back on that with a little bit of the retrospective of being a 40-year-old who owns a business and who has worked in the corporate world. And like, I sympathize more than I ever have. Because I know what it's like to care so much and know that you're going to miss the mark on something, you know?
Well, because
and
you're trying to not let them squander it. I mean, in the end, what you're really trying to do is like, if you guys can just give me a little bit, I promise you that I'm working very hard to give you a really good experience. And, you know, when you're 15 years old, you're just too egotistical and self-centered to see it that way. You know
well,
what
it's
I mean?
That, you but you also, through your lens. Yeah, I guess, but you also.
No, it really is. And it is normal. I mean, that's part of growing up. You know what I mean? When you're 15, you're not thinking about those things that way. You're just thinking about day to day, get through it. And there's this girl over there or whatever.
It's so funny too, because I think sometimes I'm like, I replay this fantasy sometimes. I'm like, if I could go live one day of my life again, or 1 year, like how would that play with my current perspective and my work ethic now? How much different could that have been? Of course, you still have to have 149 other people want to work that hard too. But
right.
Man, like I look back and I'm like, I was kind of a lazy little shit back then. And that's, I had great grades and I was good. See, my problem was, and I think you had the same problem, and I think most of us did, is that we were good enough to not be great.
It's true. Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like we knew we were good enough. So we were like, we're good enough. Why do we need to put in the extra 10% to be great? Who gives a fuck? Like nothing matters, whatever. And I think that with the culmination of just like, yeah, we were just kind of over it at a certain point. Just got really sad.
Yeah. I tell my students all the time, I say, you know, listen, here's the deal. Like, this is a place for you to grow up. You know, this is what this organization is supposed to be is a home away from home where you're supposed to make mistakes. You know why? Because you're a kid. And if you came in here without those mistakes, what would you need it for anyway? And right. So it's got to come from that perspective. I think sometimes because, you know, where we saw on the other side of it was just getting hammered or getting berated or whatever, because it's right. Like, you know, get out of my face, get out of my business. It all went the way it was supposed to go. It was really pretty normal. He was trying to do things for us and get us to a certain point, and we were being little shitheads about it. I mean, that's what parents are. You know what I mean? It's just what it is, yeah, man. That's the cornerstone of the world, you know? And now my boys are 10 and, you know, they're turning 11 in January. And you already start seeing some of that where it's like, okay, here, let me tell you this thing. And here comes this look. And I'm like, here it comes. Mm-hmm. I got another couple of years of sweetness before it's just like, you know, dad, shut the fuck up. All right.
We are, we're about 40 minutes into this. Normally we go for about 45 minutes. I have a few questions from the friend zone that I want to ask you, but I think we should, it's probably about time that we watch the show and then we'll do the friend zone. These are questions, of course, if you follow us over on patreon.com/kindoffunny. If you back us, you guys can write into these shows and ask us questions. But before we do that, Kevin, if I could ask you to pull up our freshman year marching band and you guys can see us. And this is our 1995. I don't know why it says 1995 Tournament of Champions, because it would have been 1994, but I guess maybe it was, that's how they looked at it.
Oh, dude, it's the wrong one. That's our sophomore year.
But was it sophomore year?
Yeah, man. Well, that's the year, like you said.
No, but okay. So play the first part of this, because I swear to God, this is our freshman year field trip.
Let's put it this way. If I have a solo in the first 10 seconds, it's our sophomore year.
All right, let's watch it. Let's just watch it, because I have the other ones. So we can go back and watch those. But Kevin, if you can play, please.
Sorry, 2 seconds.
Yeah, no problem.
There it goes.
Because this is the one with the high C. So this is our freshman year, isn't it? Or maybe did we
high C's every year, dude.
Did we have high C's every year?
Yeah, man. I think excepting for...
Okay, yeah, this is getting a little crunchy for him. Okay, let's stop this then. I apologize. This must have been Jeremy's senior year. So Kevin, if you could do me a favor, and in the list of the videos that I gave you... If you could go to Field Show 1994, that's the first one.
So this is your freshman year.
This is our freshman year.
This is freshman year, okay. I don't know why the first one's a Tournament of Champions in 1995. That might have been on this, yeah. So this is okay. So this is our warm-up, you're hearing, which we stole from the Concord Blue Devils.
Yeah. Remember? I remember too, the backdrops in the back there, we were pissed off because Upland High School had these cool backdrops. And so he just made these and we were like, what's it mean? He's like, nothing.
Nothing. It was just a bouncy ball.
It was literally nothing. And he said, you just wanted backdrops. So I made you backdrops. They do nothing for your show. But that was the kind of guy he was. And you're like, okay.
He would just tell us the truth. Yeah. He was literally the guy who was like, I wanted to be drum major. And he was just like, no, you don't. You shouldn't be a drum major. And I was like, but I want to. He goes, you're a better trumpet player. We don't need you to be a drum major.
Well, the test was you had to jump up on the podium, too. Remember
I
that?
Could do it. I got better triceps.
I remember.
He hated that I was drum major.
No, I don't think so. I don't
know. He fucking did. We'll talk about that in a second. Because this is our opener. There we go. Now, I was one of the. Really I can't tell where the trumpets are. I think we're in the front line here on the 50. Is that us?
No, you're like.
Oh, there we are. We're coming up. Here we go. Right there. That's us right there on the line, right at the front line. I'm probably the chubbiest, shortest one.
Dude. You're in the back, bro.
Am I?
Yes.
Oh, the
those
line.
People over. Marching to the side. Oh, there they are. Oh, yeah, you're right. There's the trumpets. I think that's you on the 40, dude.
Remember, because we used to like.
In the really short one, Miss Nick?
Oh, wait, here it is.
There it is. Oh, that was it right there.
Did you see how everyone went crazy, by the way?
There's three people that were like, cool note, bro. And the rest of the squad was like, when's my kid's band going to come up? And here's the star.
That's right. Yeah.
Here's the star here. I think that's our logo that we made. We were so proud when we nailed it. I remember like thinking we nailed it. We fucking crushed this.
Yeah. When we saw the video, we were really very proud of ourselves. That's true.
I was always proud of us. I was just proud that we got there just together. What was the theme year? Do you remember?
It was the music of Phil Collins.
No, that wasn't. Oh, no. Was it? Because I remember one year it was the music of Sting, like the Police.
That was our sophomore year. And then we did Harry Connick our junior year. And then we did Empire of the Sun, the John Williams movie, the Steven Spielberg John Williams movie, our senior year.
So this is Phil Collins. What song is this?
I don't know, dude.
What weird Genesis catalog did Pete go through to fucking find these songs? I'm like, Phil Collins like Susu Studio and like In the Air Tonight. We never did either of those.
Right. Oh. Also, who's doing Phil Collins shows? Like, hey, you know what everyone
who's doing
like?
Phil Collins shows in 1994, Collins. Dude? We could have been like, right. Phil Collins not exactly shredding the charts. And neither were the Police and Sting. You know, Pete was just driving in his Jeep and was like, hey, Phil Collins. Hey, that's probably cheap to get the license to. Let's do that.
He made out to Phil Collins in college in the 80s and just decided this
just
is
thought it was dope. Here we go. Listen to this solo. The world's worst solo.
Da, 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 dee, da. I still remember
I feel like
it,
that
man.
Was Carlos also. I can still play that solo. Look at that. Boom, we hit that fucking line. Look at that spacing. Tell me that spacing. Tell me you wouldn't kill for that spacing right now.
You know what? I will say this because Pete was a very good or militant marching band instructor. Yes, we did look good. We did not play well.
No. We played okay. It's our freshman year, though. Come on, give us a play.
It's a very 90s. I don't think this is good, but it was good for the 90s.
So you think we take this marching band right here, we go to any tournament now, we don't get excellence?
Get smashed.
You think
they
we get destroyed?
Get smashed. Destroyed. Really destroyed.
Sad. Oh, I remember this song. I loved this song. Yeah. Look at that. See right there, Kevin, on that 50, how we're going in between each other's lines? That's not easy to do, bro. That's not easy to do.
That requires a lot of what they call spatial listening.
Yeah. I had to have my what is it called? The peripheral vision, man. It was on point. Oh, look at, listen to this. The world's worst drum solo. And Stu was a bassist, a bass drummer right now.
Oh, that's right.
He was probably the one closest to the snares.
Remember Mondo Williams, dude? He played bass drum.
Mondo was a little guy. He was a little guy at the end of the bass.
That's right.
He hated everyone.
He did. Remember in the eighth grade, he hit David Pace in the face with a basketball from across the band room?
I do remember that. And I remember laughing really hard, even though I knew it was fucked up.
Listen, it did not hit him lightly. I mean, I think it concussed him.
Oh, probably. Yeah, David Pace never the same after that. I remember Pete at one point, I think it was with Mondo, was so pissed at him that he went up and punched a hole through his bass and said, you're not going to hit that note. He took the drum key, just ripped through and said, then you're not playing the bass. And I was like, damn, that was tough as nails.
That was perfect representation. You're hitting it too hard. I want to destroy your instrument.
I'm going to destroy your instrument. By the way, Kevin's rolling his eyes like, Nick learned a lot of his managerial style from this guy, apparently.
Really did.
It's hard to shake those habits, Kev. Let's put it this way. Therapy. I'm in therapy for a reason.
Oh my God.
So right here, you can see the dance team. The dance squad was the ones without the flags. The women in the back, that's the flag team.
Oh, we said 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, we did. He was like, you guys got to scream it. And then like three of us really did it harder. Everyone was also, we're like, we're not.
Oh, look, there's holes. People were
Look at that,
on
that 50.
Yeah.
No, I think our spacing was just shit. Oh, maybe there's more.
Well,
it's kind of pissed
you
off.
He wrote the drill himself, dude. And the problem with the drill that he wrote is that you use a program called Pyware, and you just draw a line and say three-step spacing, but it doesn't have to make any sense, which is why he was constantly, jump splits.
There it is right there. Boom, look at that, Kev. Can you do that?
They could do.
Can you do those jump splits? Yeah, I can.
When they did the jump splits, that was another time that the crowd went bananas.
We have parade footage, if we could watch that in a second, and you can see the jump splits. Now, I'll never forget, I saw them do this on the field, and I was like, God, that seems painful. Then I saw them do it on asphalt, and I was like, Jesus God, do you not want your legs later in life? Holy shit, that's gotta hurt. But they just crushed it every time, and they'd smile through the pain. So this was our, you always had to have the opener, and then you had to have like a ballad in the middle, right?
Yeah.
And again, If anyone in the comments or in the chat, excuse me, in the comments of this video, because we're not doing it live. Oh no, we will do live. We'll put it on. We'll be on Twitch tomorrow. Let us know what any of these Phil Collins songs were, because I don't remember any of them. Wait. Hold on. This is Clay. That was it. That was his. He remembered because he was the best freshman, so Pete gave him that. And I was like, you motherfucker, I have to be better than you.
Did he not play the front half of the solo too? Wasn't it him and Carlos on two sides of the field?
It might have been. Yeah, you're right. That was them. And I was like, damn, Clay's really good. And that made me want to be better. I remember thinking, I gotta work harder because I want solos, and I never got one.
No wonder he got to date Nikki Lorde.
No, he got to date that son of a bitch. It's okay. She dumped him. She dumped him for Zach eventually.
That's right.
Then we both were like idiots. There he goes. Here's the reprisal. Look at us.
And this these box drills. This is would have been something that he wrote when he didn't want to do anything else.
Anything.
He just decided we got to do something. Make a box, then go that way, and then come in.
Boom. Yeah.
10 seconds done. It's out of tune.
So fascinating. Yeah, everything's out of tune. We'll blame it on the VHS tape.
Yeah.
Look at this. Let's play the final note in place. Don't even bother moving.
By the way, that big giant flag that just came out, that's all it did was one.
That's the,
up
that
and
one
down.
Time. There was just one big flag. That's what it
did,
and she was so happy. She was like, this is my thing, man. I'm going to fucking run the big flag across the thing. That was it. And here we go. We're done now. And that was it.
Wow.
That's what a second place performance looks like at Tournament of Champions.
In the daytime
you can pause
division.
It there. That's right. Did we ever play the night division?
No, that's the
we
point.
Never did, right?
Our
do you want to watch?
Year, that was going to be the year.
Do you want to watch the senior year performance to see how much better we got? Do you have time?
I have time. I mean, I don't care. Do people want to do
I
that?
I say we do it. Yeah, I think we should do it. I don't care. What
yeah,
they
I
do.
Agree. Now,
they don't care.
Because
if you've made it this far
up.
In to watch these, you're going to watch them. But we have to watch senior year because you can see me, Kevin, as the drum major.
Oh, conductor.
And I'll let you figure out which drum major I was. So I'm
one?
Not going to mince words. My so every year
it's not going to be hard.
It's not gonna be hard to see me. There's so every year our band director would we tried out and I would just blow everyone out of the way because I loved being drum major. I had what it took. But he always had to have a good looking drum major or like someone that looked better on the podium than me. So there was always in this now by the way, remember Scott, and this is a fucking sore point for me. One day when I see Pete again, I'm gonna give him shit for this.
All right.
There was never drum major, co-drum major until me. So Adam was drum major freshman year, and he was drum major our sophomore year because he was a junior and senior, and it was just Adam. And then when I became, he let me. Oh, that's not true. I'm sorry. He let me be like co-drum major or something. I got to direct a little bit on like my sophomore year. But then for whatever reason, he was like, "Well, you can be drum major, but Tristan has to be the co-drum major, and he's going to direct most of the show and do all the parade
that's
stuff."
That's right.
And I was like, Tristan. "Why?" And he goes, "Just because." And Tristan was
slimmer.
6'2". Maybe 150 pounds, looked great in the uniform. And
his brother,
I'm bursting out of my uniform and they have to like constantly remake me another one to the point where
right.
like we don't have the funds for this. Motherfucker. All right, so that's me. I believe I started. No, Tristan started the show, I think.
Is
Let's
that,
go ahead and press
yeah. Field show 1997, is that correct?
Yeah.
It would have been 98.
By the way,
right?
No, it wouldn't. This is 97. Because
97, you're right. It's 97, 98 year. That's correct. Yeah.
But that is definitely Tristan. Did you really think that was you on the podium?
No, God, no. I think that I am.
Look at that slim man.
I know. I'm not. So that's not me in the bottom. That's
no,
Pete
that's Pete
right
on the bottom.
So
yeah.
He's doing that. I don't even know where I'm
probably,
at.
You're on the side, dude. You'll come over later.
So drum major, 3 years in a row, I didn't get to start the show. So this was when we did. Oh, I loved this show. This was John Williams,
this
right?
Empire of the Sun.
Empire of the Sun. How much better are we already? Do you think we're better?
Yes, we're definitely better.
One plane.
Why does she have a plane?
Because it was Empire
because
of the Sun. It was a movie
was
about.
The Sun. They were the Cadillac of the skies, and that's the kid that was
P-51s.
In the camp, and he could see the planes fly over.
Yeah, it was based on a movie about a Japanese or an internment camp during the Japanese, the Pacific campaign.
Young, the star of that was Christian Bale.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. If people out there that are watching this have not seen this
I love the show. It's a beautiful movie, and we are butchering the soundtrack from it right now.
No, we're not butchering it. This is not bad.
We are markedly better.
Yes.
This song is gorgeous. I should have played. I shouldn't have been drum major. I don't even know where I was. Where am I sitting on the side? That's me right there. See me right over there?
There you are.
He was like, you'll go over to the 30 and you'll conduct. And I'm like, I should have been. I should have just.
You did. I don't think anyone was even over there to be looking at you. But,
no, there's no one there. There's one flag girl who's like, I don't need it. I don't need you. I'm not playing an instrument. It was me in the pit. Remember when Ryan was in the pit? He was like, I just don't want to.
Here's the trumpets. Here's the trumpet. That's pretty good. That's pretty tight. Yeah.
So it looks, I mean, we're 5 minutes into the show. Tristan has directed the entire thing. But we're about to see my dumpy ass try to get on the podium. Oh, man. I remember those outfits. I remember the gold outfits. Like those red and gold outfits, yeah. And these are our new uniforms.
They looked really good. Yeah, this was the second year in their uniforms. Because we did the Harry Connick show in that uniform, too.
Yeah, that's right, because we had junior and senior in this uniform.
The Harry Connick show, I had a bunch of solos in it. As a matter of fact, I was supposed to have a really big solo at the end, excepting for the day we were charting it. I had like a theater thing. It was like one X, and I said, I have to go to this rehearsal. He's like,
and Pete punished you.
He said, you lose your
and
solo.
He punished you. Yeah.
I was like, Pete, I'm the only one that can play the solo.
You dared to do something else, and he was like, we'll give it to BJ. BJ, I don't want it. I don't want that solo. I can't play it.
Exactly.
And then they just cut it out.
No, bro, it's even worse. They made us all do it, excepting for it got to the end. He's like, Scott, you'd be the only one playing it. I'm like, so wait, everyone's going to stand there, but only I want the glory.
Yeah, I
want
to stand by myself.
I'm in center if I'm the only one that's going to do it, but it was not to be. Because I had something else to do that day, that one day.
Yep,
by the way, that I still went to rehearsal, but a half hour late.
Yep. Yeah, you got punished for that. This also, by the way, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is another one of those Pete formations where he's like, just break into groups and you'll march a little bit that way and you'll march a little bit that way and you'll come back together.
Oh, these little follow the leader things, yeah.
No, that, yeah
by
that
the was... way, can I just tell you, the fact that he charted shows, I mean, I charted my first couple years and it takes like an hour. Horrible.
It takes what?
It takes like an hour per set to write one of these sets. To like try to figure out the logistics. It's really, really hard.
So who do you do now? You have someone hire someone to chart your shows?
And that's big money too, man. You pay like $5,000. It's
bro, weird. I should start charting shows. Kevin, let's learn how to chart marching band shows. It's like a CAD program that you do.
Hey, you hopped up pretty good.
Oh, did you see me?
Yeah.
You did okay. Look at how much thicker I am. Aw. Sad. They didn't have to put that white thing in front of me either.
This emotional moment. You're the one doing the ballad, dude.
That was so much better connected.
You were good.
No disrespect to Tristan.
Well,
but I was like, bro. I mean, a little disrespect. I'm throwing some shade toward everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Was this Clay?
It was...
I don't know, man. I mean, it sounds like Clay. Because Clay never had that laser tone. I remember watching Clay do this solo and being like, I should just be doing this solo. What the fuck am I doing up here? I don't want to hop on this thing every day. That's not true. I took so much pride in being a drum major.
Say.
I loved it.
Well, you remember, and all the drum majors had signed it in the middle of that, in the middle of the podium.
Yeah,
so
I don't
you got
think,
to add your name to that.
I don't think Pete let me do it. He was like, you drop 10 more pounds, you can sign this thing.
Co-majors can't sign. Co-majors can't sign.
Go drummer. He's like, bro, you get to sign that when you're the sole drum major.
Only the person that starts the show. Tristan, would you like to sign?
So true. It's so how cocky it is for us to have two drum majors. We don't need that.
Oh, dude, I have three.
Do you really?
You do, because when the band gets a certain size, you can't see from way out in Timbuktu. You know, you need
really.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I just thought he always put a second drum major there to literally and figuratively counterbalance me.
No.
Wait, guys.
Yeah.
I screwed up and I wasn't showing the image.
No. Okay.
I can put a time code.
No. Put a time code, Kevin, then give me the footage and I'll edit it in.
Sorry, man.
Can we hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, then that's okay. Just we'll keep watching on our end and then I'll edit it in tonight. Don't worry about it. But can you still see us?
Yeah, I mean, I've now brought it back, so you
okay,
should be
cool.
Easy
wait,
to stick up.
Now wait, Nick, think for a second. Now I want you to be Pete, and then when Kevin gives you that news, do what Pete would have done to Kevin in front
Pete
of everybody.
Pete would have.
That's a pretty mistake. I deserve
it. It would have not been pretty, but it's okay. It's easily fixed. Can we hear the first show as well?
I showed the first one. It was the transition between.
Oh, that's fine. I'll just edit this in. Don't even sweat. I'll edit it in. It's fine. That's why we do this pre-recorded. That's not why we do it. I just like to pre-record stuff because sometimes I say the word ball sack too many times and I think, hey, Kevin, cut the 15th ball sack out, please. Thank you.
I will say this, too. The color guard is really good this year. I haven't seen the show in a really long time.
I kept calling on the flag team. They're called
really
the color guard.
Right? Yeah. Well, that's good, isn't it?
Was this the team where this was the year where he got pissed off at the egos and decided everyone's just going to be the same squad?
He did do like a couple of things where it's like everyone's going to have a flag at the beginning. I remember that. And the dance team, they had their little egos about it. Like,
if I remember correctly, because the dance team, you had to audition for the dance team, right? And then
you had to audition for both groups.
But the dance team was harder to get into.
That was certainly the perception. The perception always was that's like the...
No, it was 100% that it was the reality. They were far and away better dancers by far. But they had an ego about it. And I remember Pete getting so pissed off that they were like cocky as shit that he was like, fuck it, you're all going to learn. And they were like pissed.
That's
true. I don't want to use a flag. I'm not going to use a flag. Yeah. He was like, no, you're all going to use flags.
You're doing it. The color guard was like... And by the way, everyone gets a plane too.
I'll have you
on those planes. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, whatever. You know, this is like more detailed or technical, but you can hear woodwinds. You can hear parts. This is significantly better. This was a good group. He was right. We did squander it.
How good would this group be if they went up against your band right now? Or like if they went, that's not fair. That's not a fair comparison. What if this went to one of your competitions? Do you think we'd score highly?
You know, it would be okay, man. Yeah, to be honest with you, it would. There's a lot of really good things about it, and it is kind of an older style. You know, I mean, the things have evolved, you know, in terms of how they do shows. But if you add a couple little things, you know, they use electronics now at the front, like synthesizer and MIDI sounds.
Do they really?
Like that.
That's cheating.
You have your MacBook Pro running stuff. But if you spruce the show up a little bit with the talent of the group, they'd do really well.
This is the closer, right? Yeah, I guess I did get to close the show.
Oh, yeah. That means you get to do the little salute at the end.
Oh, yeah. Kevin, watch the salute. Here it comes. Hold on.
Closing is almost as good as opening.
No, it's not nearly as good. Actually, it is better. Fuck you, Tristan. No disrespect. I miss you, bro. I miss you, bro. Stay in your fucking lane, Tristan. Ready? Hold on. Ready? Kevin, watch this.
And
here it comes
right
there.
Oh,
there's the salute.
Yes!
Crushed it.
The turnaround, too, by the way. Oh, it's so slick. What if you fell off? Oh,
Kevin, does that make you like me more or less?
I love it. I just wish it wasn't like 8 pixels, you know?
I know.
I wish
I'm
you
sorry.
Just had a little bit.
I wish we had HD of this, man. It just didn't even exist back then.
You know, I wonder that. I don't know what show that was. That might have been the Northern California show that we did. Or
I don't know.
That was the show where it rained and Rashad fell off.
You can kill that now, Kev. So I just have a few more questions for you, Scott.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, and then we'll edit in that footage, or maybe not. Maybe people can just listen to it and imagine what we're talking about. So as everyone knows out there, if you want to support us over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can back us at the I believe $5 tier above. That might be changing shortly, but we don't know. And you can write in questions for the show, just like Connor wrote, and we ask you guys to ask stories about Bandcamp, things like this. Connor asks, what is your this one time at Bandcamp story? Did you ever know anyone or personally stick a flute up your blank? Believe referring to that iconic line. What is your favorite marching band's like band camp story? Do you have one?
You know, not when I was a kid, I don't have one because our band camps were miserable. I mean, it was Riverside and 110 degrees. And I remember almost passing out. I mean, I remember that pretty vividly.
Pass out.
But what I don't know, if I look back on it with real honesty, I think I did not as much almost passed out as much as I pussed out. I think I was just hot and uncomfortable and 13. And I was just like, I need to sit down in the shade or whatever. So I remember that, but I don't remember anything really good happening. Anything fun.
I remember.
It was miserable.
It was miserable, but it was fun. Like it was horrible and you had to drink a lot of water and then you'd get to like, your section would get to practice in the theater that was air conditioned and you just fuck off and have fun.
Right.
And then
we had the pool Olympics. I remember Pete would do that for us at the very end of
I never
camp,
did it. I never,
Fridays.
I was, there was no way I was taking my shirt off
take
in front
that
of
shirt
the
off, yeah.
No, not going to happen. Yeah, I'm not letting them see that stretch mark and hairy back.
Dick around. Yeah.
I remember
we got to see some other people in their bikinis, and that was not bad.
That was true, and we were skeezes about that. And I'll be 100% honest, that was a highlight for me. I remember that specifically. I was like, wow. And then anyone that could like actually take their shirt off in front of other people, I was like, that is bold. You earned my respect, my friend, because I cannot do that. I think my only story that I'll tell you is it was the first time I realized that you could get chafing in between your legs. And I had to use Gold Bond medicated powder and wear bike shorts underneath my shorts. So we used to wear bicycle shorts underneath. And I remember, I'll never forget this. I looked up to our old marching band drum major, who then came back. Pete hired him to be our drill instructor for the next year. Remember Dave? Dave Beaver was a good friend of my brother's. He used to buy me cigarettes. He was awesome. And I said that, by the way, he was like 16 and I was like 13. So we were all underage, but he was super cool. And I felt like I was in, we'd like go get like 7-Eleven together and stuff like that. It was awesome. But he used to wear bicycle shorts underneath his jorts. And I thought that was the coolest thing for 1 week until someone was like, that is not cool. Stop doing that. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll stop doing that. Jason M writes in with the following question. Would you encourage your children to be in marching band? I don't have any, but Scott, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. And my kid is starting to play saxophone right now. He's in the fifth grade, so he's in fifth grade band. As a matter of fact, this is, you know, not to get too serious, but, you know, I have two sons and one has autism. And one of the things that I tell my kids every year, the first day of band camp, because it's hot and they're uncomfortable, is I just say, you know, I know you're out here and, you know, you're starting this new thing. And some of you may even come that first day and decide, I don't want to come back because I got to get up and, you know, what's going on. I said, but, you know, not every kid gets to do this, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Not every kid has a family that's going to support it. Not every kid is going to have necessarily, is going to be an appropriate experience for them, right? I'll say it that way. So the fact is that you can get out there if you're able-bodied enough to be a part of something like that, be a part of anything, right? Whether it's sports or band or cheerleading or anything else. You know, those are great things and great memories. And I mean, Nick, how long have we been friends, you know, in all seriousness? I mean, it's been a really long time.
20 years because of it.
Yeah.
No, longer than that. Sorry. It's 24 years. 25, no, 30 years almost. Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Yeah. And I married somebody that I met through music. And so I think it's 100% a great experience if you are lucky enough to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll second that as well. I mean, I think out of all of my best buds from high school and junior high that I still stay in contact with, all of them were in marching band with me, which is crazy to think about. But that was really a bond that was formed through the hot heat of 8 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock in the morning, Riverside, California, and just dodging ladders being thrown left and right.
And changing in front of each other.
Which we did a lot, Kevin. Yes. We did. You just have to change out by the buses. And all of a sudden, that's why you had to wear bike shorts, because you were like, you can't get naked. And I used to wear tidy whities. And so I was like, I got to wear the bike shorts. And everyone's like, Nick, just stop wearing bike shorts, dude. It's not. I mean, I guess it was the 90s. So fuck off. I can wear bike shorts.
Let me tell you this real quick, dude, because I know it's like out of town, but I took the band to D.C. We went and marched the Memorial Day Parade in Washington, D.C., my band, a couple of years ago. And it was hot and muggy and the parade stopped and we were out on the route for like an hour and we turned the corner. And I mean, everybody's just drenched in sweat. And I look back at my band and they're all half naked. There was a fire hydrant that sprouted open. And I mean, half naked, every single one of them. And at that point, they didn't care. There is, and that's not to say in a weird way, but in a, listen, you got to do what you got to do way.
Sure.
Time to cool off.
Sure. I'm not, it's like, I don't want to take my shirt off, but I'm so hot that I will just pretend like no one can see me.
Yeah.
I'm like an ostrich. If I close my eyes and I can't see you, you can't see me. That's how it goes. Scott, it's been really lovely catching up. We'll have to do a part two where we watch some of our parade stuff and maybe the other two shows that we have from our sophomore and junior year, but I'll let you get back to your family because it is 6 o'clock and I'm sure they want to have dinner with you. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember guys, Scott, do you care if people follow you? Do you have a Twitter or anything like that? Or
do you I do, but it's not important enough.
Don't even worry about it. There you go. Of course you guys can follow me at Nick_Scarpino on everything. And Kevin, thank you so much for rallying with us. And actually, surprisingly, I want to give a shout out to Kevin for not making the triangle joke one time. Cause every time I tell him he was drum major, he was like, oh, you're the one that used to play the triangle. And he thinks it's the funniest thing, Scott. Listen to him laugh.
It hurts you. I can see how much it hurts you.
It's so painful. It's like when he makes fun of my height or my hair. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, we love you.